When the blues of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
Produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Rhythm Ayers, and Bing's guests, Adolph Manjou and Kay Starr.
Gee, Mr. Manjou going to be here?
Yep, great actor.
And Kay Starr?
Mm-hmm, great singer.
Well, gee, leaves nothing for me to do tonight.
Why, what do you do, bub?
Well, I act, I sing, my name is Crosby.
Oh, glad to know you. What type of songs do you do, Mr. Crosby?
Almost anything.
Yeah?
I come highly recommended by Arthur Godfrey.
Well, good for you.
I memorized a tune called Buttons and Bows. Would you like to hear it?
Why, I'd be delighted to. Just step right over there to the microphone, son, and don't be afraid.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
East is east and the west is west, and the wrong one I have chose. Let's go where you keep on wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows, rings and things and buttons and bows. Now bury me in this prairie, take me where the cement grows. Let's move down to some big town where they love a gal by the cut of her clothes, and you'll stand out in buttons and bows. I'll love you in buckskin or skirts that you homespun, but I'll love you longer, stronger, where your friends don't tote a gun. My bones denounce that buckboard bounce, and the cactus hurts my toes. Let's vamoose where the gals keep using those silks and satins and linen that shows, and you're all mine in buttons and bows.
East is east and west is west, and the wrong one I have chosen.
Let's go where you'll keep on wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows.
Rings and things and things and rings and bows and buttons and buttons and bows.
Now don't bury me in this prairie, take me where the cement grows.
Let's move down to some big town
where they love a gal by the cut of her clothes, and you stand out in buttons and bows.
You stand out in buttons and bows.
I'll love you in buckskin or skirts that you homespun, but I'll love you longer, stronger, where your friends don't tote no gun. My bones denounce that buckboard bounce, and the cactus hurts my toes. Let them moose for gals keep using those silks and satins and linen that shows. You're all mine, buttons and bows.
Buttons and bows, buttons and bows.
In the eastern trimming where the women are women in a high silk hose and peekaboo pose and French perfume and rocks the room, and you're all mine in buttons and bows.
Buttons and bows, buttons and bows, buttons and bows, buttons and bows.
Bing and Rhythm Ayers. By the way, Bing, Buttons and Bows is from Bob Hope's new picture, The Pale Face.
Yes, and I think it's much too melodic and charming for old Saggy to sing, don't you?
I wouldn't say that. Mm-hmm. Say, by the way, Bing, Bob wanted me to remind you to tell the people to watch for his new picture.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, watch out for Bob Hope's new picture. Anything else in the commercial line, Ken? It's getting close to Christmas, you know.
Oh, yes, Bing, and that reminds me, this year, the Christmas gift with a lift has got to be one of those new Philco radio phonographs that plays the 45-minute record, and regular records, too. If you were giving the family a new car for Christmas, you wouldn't give them one without four-wheel brakes, would you? Of course you wouldn't. And any phonograph that doesn't play both kinds of records is just as obsolete. Now, you could prove that for yourself in less than a minute at your Philco dealer. Just take one listen to Philco's new balanced fidelity tone arm playing a Vinylite long playing record, and you'll know you're hearing the most flawless reproduction of recorded music in history. Full tone fidelity without distortion. So how can you miss with the greatest phonograph invention of modern times? Reserve your Christmas Philco now. You'll find the model you want at the price you like. Gorgeous consoles and table models, plus Philco's sensational new record player that will equip any radio or phonograph to play the new 45-minute record. They're all tops from Philco, the leader.
Here's a new ballad which looks like it's going to be quite a smash. It was written by an old friend of mine, Jack Fulton, along with brother Bob Crosby and Hunter Collar.
Until there are no stars to shine, there's no such thing as time, I'll love but you. Until there are no songs to sing, there's no such thing as spring, I'll love but you. You were sent from heaven just for me, and you are oh so heavenly. There is no moon above, there's no such thing as love, I'll love but you.
Pleasure now to pipe a bright young lady aboard the SS Philco. Of course, we really don't have a boat here or anything, but it gets Philco in kind of nicely, I thought. Of course, we're also concerned with a nice welcome for the lovely and petite vocalist, Miss Kay Starr. Take a bow, Kay. Nice to see you, Kay. Nice.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Very leathery, aren't you? Nice to know.
Sweetie is the word.
Nice to know that you're doing so well.
Thank you, Bing.
You got a real pretty tune for us tonight, Kay?
Mm-hmm. How about the lonesomest gal in town?
Yeah, how about her? John Scott, take over. I want to sit down and listen to Kay.
I'm the lonesomest gal in town. Everybody has thrown me down. I got no angel child to ever call me dear. Got no honey man for me to cuddle near. But I'm learning to roll my eyes. And someday you may be surprised. When I find someone's loving man and kiss him with a smack. I'll hug him and I'll squeeze him, but I'll never give him back. 'Cause I'm lonesome. so very lonesome. I'm the lonesomest gal in this here town. If you read in the paper someday how some poor girl has gone astray, don't shed a tear. If you should hear that gal was me, and if you see my picture in the paper with a smile on my face, I was brokenhearted, that smile was out of place. If you want to save a gal from her grave, find me a man if you can. I'm the lonesomest gal in town. Everybody is throwing me down. I got no angel child to ever call me dear. Got no honey man for me to cuddle near. But I'm learning, I'm gonna roll my eyes, and someday you're gonna be surprised when I find someone's loving man and kiss him with a smack. I'll hug him and I'll squeeze him, but I'll never give him back. 'Cause I'm lonesome, so very lonesome. I'm the lonesomest gal, and it's there any other time.
Very smooth, very mellow, Kay. A million thanks. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present a pal of mine from the golf links and from the cinema sound stages. Folks, here's that well-dressed, that well-pressed gentleman, Mr. Adolph Manjou. Gosh, Adolph, it's always a pleasure to see you. And those clothes of yours, always impeccable.
It's always a pleasure to see you, Bing, and those clothes of yours, always impossible.
Yeah.
Well, look at you, Bing. I do wish you'd do something about your dress.
This isn't a dress. This is a sports shirt.
It looks like a storm warning to me.
Oh, you're just ribbing me, Adolph. There's nothing wrong with the ensemble I have on.
Nothing wrong? Bing, I wouldn't join a chain gang in that outfit you're wearing. Why don't you do something about this, my boy? I've tried to help you. I've given you my tailor's card 4 or 5 times.
I went to your tailor, Adolph. The minute I walked in the front door, he blew a mouthful of pins at me.
Well, I told you to go to the back door.
Oh, I frightened him, huh?
Well, he suffered a complete nervous breakdown.
Sorry.
Bing, you're much too careless. I saw you at the Macombo the other night in a dinner jacket, and you were not wearing a tie.
Well, I don't know how to tie a bow tie.
Well, it's very simple. You tie one just like you tie shoelaces.
You tie shoelaces? Big news to me.
Well, you know, being off times, a fellow like you who's very casual when it comes to street clothes is ultra fastidious in private. How do you sleep?
On my tummy.
No. What do you sleep in?
Well, usually in a bed. Of course, when there's a mob at the house, I have a sleeping bag in the garage.
No. What I'm trying to get at is, how do you dress for bed? What do you wear?
I have an electric blanket with 2 pair of pants.
Wonderful, wonderful. That sounds very stylish. You know, Bing, nightshirts are in vogue again.
Yeah, but I don't like nightshirts. They creep up on you.
Well, mine don't.
Why not?
I put stirrups on them.
Adam Cowboy.
So you see, Bing, my theory is right. You're not hopeless. You at least dress for bed. And I've noticed another progressive thing about you. You are wearing golf niggers now.
Goodalls, you know. You like them?
Yes. But I saw you at the Bel Air Golf Club the other day, and you had one pant leg up and the other one dragging. You look just like Jackie Coogan in The Kid.
Really, Adolph, I think you're much too fastidious about this thing. I understand that when you send a bundle to the laundry, everybody just stands around and admires it.
Oh, no. At the laundry, I get the works the same as everyone else.
The full treatment?
Yes, but I try to be very tolerant of my laundry. I sent them a beautiful pair of Angora socks. They sent me back 2 tea bags.
Oh.
I didn't complain.
No?
I sent them imported white linen handkerchiefs.
Huh?
They sent them back with black India ink on them. Rather than argue, I tried to compromise. I went out and bought black handkerchiefs.
How'd that work?
Well, they went out and bought white India ink.
And still you didn't complain?
No. Accidents will happen. Oh. Of course, it was a little better during the war. They were understaffed.
How did that affect you?
They couldn't get all the buttons off my shirts.
Oh, really, Dolph? I think you're just being bitter.
Well, I don't mind if they shrink a pair of socks now and then. A few missing buttons don't disturb me. But here's the one thing that gets me. I have pleaded with them not to starch the collars.
Oh, I know just how you feel. For some reason, they don't wash collars. They sharpen them.
You're so right.
Why, a friend of mine nearly beheaded himself watching a tennis match the other day.
Well, I just don't understand. All my shirts have a label inside the neck band which reads, "Do not starch collar." I even have some shirts that say, "Please do not starch collar." Here's what I can't figure out. The man who starches the collars must have thousands of collars to starch. Now, when he gets to one of my shirts, why can't he just not starch the collar?
Well, maybe it throws him off his game or something. Did you complain to the laundry?
Well, I've done everything. I talked to Miss Wyatt in charge of wet wash.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Miss Patterson in charge of flatware.
Grand girl.
But they referred me to Barney.
Who's Barney?
He's the man who puts the starch in the collars.
Oh.
So I figured if I could get around Barney, my problem would be solved.
Mm-hmm.
That evening, I went down to the laundry and stood outside the employee's entrance with a box of cigars under my arm like a stage door Johnny.
This is building.
At last, Barney came out. We went to a small cocktail lounge. The lights were low and we sipped champagne. Finally, I took a $20 bill and pressed it into the palm of his hand and said, "Please don't starch the collars."
What happened?
He looked at me like I was trying to fix the World Series.
You couldn't sway him, huh?
No. He wanted to turn me over to the FBI.
Adolf, I don't see why you want to bring all this trouble on yourself with all the clothes you have. You're bound to have trouble with laundries.
Yes, when it comes to my laundry, I can take it. But Bing, there is something that I live in constant dread and terror of.
Hmm?
I am perpetually haunted by heinous beasts that threaten my very existence.
Gophers?
No. Moths.
Oh, what are a few cloth cannibals? If I found a moth in my closet, I'd put sleeves on it, wear it.
Well, that's a gay one you're wearing now. But I'm serious, Bing. The threat of moths makes my life practically unbearable.
Oh, don't let them upset you. With their itty-bitty teeth, what could they eat?
Itty-bitty to the naked eye, perhaps. But under a microscope, they have teeth like a tiger shark. I've made quite a study of them, you know.
Really?
Yeah, there are two kinds of moths, the male moth and the female moth.
Oh, very happy to know that.
Yes. The moths are very happy about it, too.
Do you have any more data on the necktie nibblers?
Yes. Other insects have traits you can admire. Bees make honey.
True.
Ants build things.
Of course.
Fleas will go out and get a job in a circus.
Yes, even mosquitoes have a little class. If a mosquito doesn't like you, he lumps you.
Nothing. Right.
Eddie.
Even the boll weevil has the decency to chew up cotton before it's made into garments. But a moth is just a louse.
Oh, you might be just a little too vitriolic toward our friends, the vest vultures. They really can't do much harm if you control them.
Well, perhaps you can control the ordinary, common, everyday clothes moth. But what about the giant sawtooth, the armor-plated moth that is equipped with dynaflow and flip-proof feelers?
Real menace, huh?
Mm. Being thank heavens they only invade Southern California once every 15 years.
Really?
Don't tell me you've forgotten the hours of terror we spent together the night they swooped down upon my house in 1932. Mm. Think. You must remember.
Yes. Oh, yes. Now I remember. Yes. I remember well, and I shudder as I think of the horror and the gruesomeness of it all. We had just finished a round of golf at Lakeside, and we stopped by your house for a glass of barley water. You had slipped into your man of distinction suit and were starting to mix a drink. When suddenly...
Master.
Monju's butler always called him Master. He detested the name Adolf.
So did Monju. Master, we must flee. They're coming again.
Pull yourself together, Carpenter. What is coming?
Those great, big, nasty old moths are coming. That's what.
No.
Manju's face went ashen, which fortunately matched the gray ascot tie he was wearing.
The giant moths again, eh? Well, great Scott, man, don't just stand there.
There's nothing to do, Master. These winged devils will chew you and your wardrobe to ribbons.
And buttons and bows.
Oh, we're not going to run away, Carpenter. This time we're going to fight them. I'll fight them to the last stitch. So help me, Hart, Schaffner, and Marks.
By Kuppenheimer, I'll stick with you.
Leo, Sunshine, Funeral, and Hickey Freeman.
Malcolm Kenneth. Quick, Carpenter, man this lit gun.
Aye, aye, sir.
Yes, you. Crosby, take these mothballs.
Got them.
Don't eat them. Throw them. Now, everybody to their battle stations.
It's no use, Master. Look out the window to the east. Moths, a black cloud of them, 10 miles long and 2 miles wide. We'll never beat them.
I'll beat them. I have intelligence. I have intelligence.
Well, you know more than a moth. I rushed up to the balcony, looked through my binoculars. It was a terrifying sight. They were approaching, all right. Through the binoculars, I could see that their leader was a veteran of many campaigns. He had 7 sets of red flannels painted on his fuselage. And on they came. I had never seen such an expanse of flying fiends. I called the Manju.
What's wrong, Bing?
This is hopeless. Look at them. We're saved. They flew over the house.
They're not hungry yet.
They'll be back, but don't worry.
Well, are you insane? We can't fight these demons with mothballs and flits.
I said not to worry. Do you see this bomb I have in my hand?
Is it DDT?
No, D-U-Z. Now we'll see if does everything.
No, it better. Just then the moths came into view again. They were flying high in battle formation. They were preparing to dive. Quick, Adolf, the bombs.
Stand back.
Manju had thrown his bomb with deadly aim. It exploded right in the middle of the formation and it dispersed the onslaught.
We've licked them. They're running away. I told you intelligence would win.
I knew you'd defeat them, sir. Congratulations.
Look out there on the lawn, Adolf. Millions of teeth. Giant moth teeth.
Good. My bomb blew all their teeth out. Moths without teeth can never harm us. We've won completely.
And then we heard that ominous sound again. I peered quickly through my binoculars, and the sight that met my eyes turned my blood to ice water, for at this moment, I knew that Manju had been outwitted.
Give me those glasses, Crosby. Egad, those devils have been to Painless Barker.
They're coming back with false choppers. We're cooked. Manju, in a rage, went out to meet them single-handed. It was Manju versus the moths. They descended on him like a colossal wave of dive bombers. Helpless. Despite his cries of terror, it was fascinating to watch those ravenous creatures at work. Somehow they seemed to ignore me. They circled around me warily, but always keeping a safe distance. But Manju was really getting it.
Away, you fiends! Be gone!
There goes his coat. There goes his pants. There goes his necktie. There goes his spats. Well, I'll be darned. They're spitting out the buttons. There goes his socks. It was a pathetic sight. There he stood. Once America's best-dressed man, but now just a barefoot boy from head to toe. There seemed to be nothing left for these devils when suddenly... there goes his mustache. Ken, wasn't that a terrible thing that happened to Manju?
Yes, it was, Bing. Right now, I'm concerned with other things.
What's your great concern, Ken?
Well, I have news for people who'd like to modernize their radio or phonograph to play the new 45-minute records.
Well, go right ahead. I'll have to run out and get Manju a Bal Brigand.
Well, friends, just drop in at your Philco dealer and discover Philco's new album-length record player. This is a real 4-star dilly, folks. For only $29.95, or $31.50 in the West, this Philco record player will equip any radio or phonograph, old or new, with the greatest advance in recorded music. And get this, it makes no difference what make of phonograph you now own. Actually, with this sensational Philco record player, you can even play the 45-minute record on a table radio that doesn't have a phonograph. Installation is easy and inexpensive, and you'll enjoy the listening thrill of your life. Philco's album-length record player gives you the slow-speed turntable you need for long-playing records. Plus, Philco's marvelous new balanced fidelity reproducer, the tone arm originally designed for the long-playing record by Philco, famous for quality the world over.
Here's a song I recorded for Decca last year, which my agents tell me created a mild stir on the continent. Now I understand it's being played in this country, which emboldens me to program it tonight.
If you ever go across the sea to Ireland, then maybe at the closing of your day, you will sit and watch the moon rise over Claddagh and watch the barefoot gossoons at their play, just to hear again the ripple of the trout stream, the women in the meadows making hay, and to sit beside a turf fire in the cabin and see the sun go down on Galway Bay. For the breeze is blowing o'er the seas from Ireland, are perfumed by the heather as they blow, and the women in the upland digging praties speak a language that the strangers do not know. For the strangers came and tried to teach us their way, they scorned us just for being what we are, but they might as well go chasing after moonbeams or light a penny candle from a star. And if there's gone to be a life hereafter, and somehow I'm sure there's gonna be, I will ask my God to let me make my heaven in that dear land across the Irish Sea.
That just about knocks it for tonight, and my thanks to K-Star and Adolph Monju for joining us.
Who's with you next week, Bing?
Next week, Adolph, we have two fine performers. Miss Dorothy Kirsten of the Metropolitan Opera.
You're very swanky.
Oh, yes, and outside the Met, she sung with Jolson.
That would have to be outside the Met.
That goes for me, too. We have Bert Lauer, a great comedian, also going to be with us next week.
Should I tune in?
We'd appreciate it if you would. Good night, Adolph.
Good night, Bing.
Folks, I'd like to remind you that the National Guard still needs men to give voluntarily of their spare time to the nation's defense. Thank you, folks, and good night.
This program was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. Tune in to Philco Radio Time next week and hear Bing Crosby, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Rhythm Ayers, and Bing's guests, Dorothy Kirsten and Bert Lahr. And remember, keep your eye on your Philco dealer now for the newest thing in radio phonographs from Philco, the leader.